Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Here we go. It's our number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Hope you had a great weekend. General at your service. There's Broadus. Throwing heat already. Lucius Alexander is in the bullpen over there at Master Control. Woolchuck is in the house. And Carter Freeman is coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105throughthefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. I think this is an annual tradition for the Chief. He likes to take a little three-day weekend going into training camp, spend time with the family, play with the kiddos and all that. Get that family time built up.
Yes. I mean, my first training camp going in, now with the kiddo, I felt, you know, you need to do the You need to do it, right? I mean, it's good. Try and take some pressure off wifey. She's going to have 10 days without any help and support. So just take a couple of days, spend some time with baby girl. And he's got three of them now. So I think it's a good play. I mean, I tried to do that, and I think he's doing the right thing here.
Absolutely. So send that man some love on social. Let him know he's missed, and he'll be back in the saddle rocking with us tomorrow. How was your weekend, Brian?
It was Lucius? Great.
Everything good?
Yeah, everything was great.
How was Friday at the yard?
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Got to watch DeGrom pitch.
And yeah, Mardi Gras Brian make an appearance or no?
What's that?
Did we get Mardi Gras Brian?
No. Lucius bought me a beer. I enjoyed that and what you're thinking, what you're drinking. And that was a lot of fun. We had chaos. The show Chaos was great, you know. And I'm sure Lucius will have us relive it coming up here in the G-Bag of the Day, I'm sure.
Love chaos.
But yeah, we had a lot of fun out there. It was nice to see the Tolos that stopped by and said hello. And unfortunately, we didn't get the Rangers a series victory being out there on Friday, but always fun to be at the ballpark.
Well, right on. And it's always fun to talk with CY, which, again, we will do at 4:20. We'll talk more about the Rangers here in just a minute. The biggest story out of Cowboys land is that the State of the Cowboys address, which has been scheduled for Wednesday, has been pushed back. Jerry and Steven will now interact with the media for the first time on Saturday because of the court case in Texarkana. Jerry made his way over there this morning, and the legal proceedings will be underway throughout the week. Sure, interesting what you'd pick your time to do, but he's hunting this thing down. He's not being sued for paternity anymore. This is the other side of it. He is suing for damages from their breach of contract. So I guess we'll get updates on that throughout the week. Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy will have his first news conference of training camp on Thursday morning in Oxnard. And let's start the conversation with Mike McCarthy. What is his biggest task this year? What is the biggest thing you need your head coach to do for you? The Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line is open. And what's he need to do to save his job? Wolchuk, Broadus?
To save the job for me, you have to make the NFC Championship game. You have to. You have to win a playoff game. That's assuming you get a bye. Most likely you're going to have to win two. You have to get to a conference championship game, which is a place that this team hasn't been in almost 30 years. Otherwise, I think the rest of the fan base, and they probably already have, are just going to say, you got it. Like the regular season success, that's awesome. And I know Mike is feeling there's a burden that's been put on him for that entire 3-decade track record. And that's not something that is his fault. He's come here and he has set a standard of winning and successful football. They weren't doing that prior to him getting here. He's been the best head coaching hire since probably Parcells, who helped turn that thing around, right? So he's won 36 games in 3 years. Steven talked to Diana Russini about that. They have done a lot of winning in the regular season, but that's become numb. That's become irrelevant. That's become hollow to the fans. And, you know, it's not fair to Mike, but that's just how it is. So you get to an NFC Championship game or else the fan base is going to say bye-bye, you're fired. Now, I don't know if the Jones family will feel that way.
Sure.
They might be satisfied again with another double-digit win season, and maybe you win a playoff game. Maybe that's enough for them.
Well, it's not getting fired for McCarthy. It would be his contract.
True. You just don't get re-signed.
You don't get re-signed. So, you know, if that's the case, and it happened to Jason Garrett, the same thing. So it's not going to be a firing. It's going to be his contract ran out, and they're not bringing him back. What he can do, I think that, you know, the simplistic thing to say is just what you did. It's about playoff success and all that. I personally don't think he's going to save his job. I don't. I don't think this is going to be a team that's going to be able to get into a championship situation. I think it's probably a 9-win team the way it is right now. There's a lot of questions that you have to answer. This is a team that might not be good enough to win the division. Then again, Philadelphia might be just one game better. They might not be good enough either. But this is going to be a year where all of a sudden, you know, Mike is going to have a lot of challenges. You know, Dak Prescott, a lot of challenges. There's so many questions and so many, the way this thing is set up right now, it's set up for us to be, this time next year, talking about a completely different coaching staff, potentially a different quarterback, a different lineup, a lot of different things. It's set up for, to be honest with you, a lot of failure is what it's set up for.
Yeah.
Because if things start to snowball out of control, what is Mike McCarthy going to have to do to kind of get things? Mike is a good coach. The problem is, though, you're right, he's paying for the sins of 30 years of not having success in the playoffs. And that's on the front office, too. You know, that's on the front office, but they're not going anywhere. But this right now is set up for failure.
It really is.
With the quarterback not, and I don't know, like I say, there, Calvin Watkins, I was talking to him this weekend, and we were talking about, because he tweeted out about a priority about getting
CeeDee Lamb done.
And I'm like, hey, man, hearing this, you know, all that. And he's like, yeah, there's some whispering going on about what. So that just tells me there, if that's the case, I think Calvin's a damn good reporter. And if he's telling me that they're putting the priority over the receiver over the quarterback, that kind of shows you where their mindset is. You know, this could be quarterback being gone, and this could be very well the head coach being gone as well.
I do wonder, and maybe, you know, them with the priority, maybe they know that Dak isn't eager to sign.
Well, they know that Dak will be in camp. And they know that CD won't.
100%.
That's really where they're at right
now.
But
like, we got the report, you know, from that Ricky guy on Twitter who's been right about a lot of this stuff. Yeah. And Jordan Love, supposedly that there's a deal that could get done this week. Now that resets the market. If you're Dak, like, why do you care about signing?
He doesn't.
The numbers are just going up. Yeah. He's bet on himself before. He's won. Somebody's going to pay him next year, whether it's the Cowboys or another team. The benefit isn't waiting. So we can be mad at the Cowboys for not wanting to get this deal done, and maybe they should have tried harder to do it earlier. But if you're also Dak and Todd France, you're winning by not signing.
Yeah, they're doing a masterclass that all players and agents should watch as far as how to be patient. Well, you know, Jerry's fond of saying I have a high tolerance of ambiguity. He can let stuff sit out there, and he benefits from players being in their first major negotiation of their life and getting impatient. But Dak has never had that. You know, Dak was a fairly matured, like, executive mind when he walked out of college. You know, he's just done a tremendous job with the business side of it. And when you're dealing with a player that has strength like that, if you insist on playing things out until the 11th hour, they're not going to go your way. You're hoping that they get impatient and want to do a deal, and that's just not going to happen with Dak.
Well, we're talking about the Cowboys and wanting to do a deal. They might not want to do a deal. You know, they might be playing this exactly the way they want to play this.
A full major reset.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's, I mean, they're not interested, you know, and we'll see. Because the way it appears right now, they're not interested in getting a deal done.
Well, the only thing that to me that would change all of this is if you can build a running game. And last year at this time, that was all the talk of, you know, Mike McCarthy, we're going to get the running game going. And then they got into the season, we're like, holy crap, we can't run.
Yeah.
So you bring in two young, big, strong offensive linemen. If those guys click, if Mozzie Smith and Eric Kendricks can shore up your defensive running game along with Mike Zimmer running a more conservative approach instead of your risky getting after the quarterback, maybe things could evolve in a way that could, you know, save everybody and give them faith. I think this is coming at a perfect time because they haven't lost their star players, you know, maybe unless you consider Tyron Smith one, you know, unless you consider Stephon Gilmore one, but really those are aging star players. They still have a lot of great players. So if they stay healthy, I think, you know, this thing could change fairly significantly. But just as every team in the NFL, you need a bump from your rookie class. If you think you're contenders and you throw a blank like the Cowboys did in 08 and 09, guess what? Suddenly you're no longer contenders and you're rebuilding in 10, 11, and 12.
Yeah.
If you think, well, we're probably going to take a half step back, but you get two guys that make the all-rookie team, one guy makes the Pro Bowl, and a couple of others can be role players with you, then it can totally redefine how good you think you are going to be, and that's why it's so difficult to predict at this point how all these teams are going to do. So I do want to say, while I'm cynical or pessimistic about where this team is going, I'm open-minded, and I'm going in hoping to find great answers on at least three out of those four things.
Yeah, I mean, I think they put all the pressure on the draft class, right? All they did in free agency was you bring in Eric Kendricks. Now, that's an upgrade. I mean, mm-hmm. I think the linebacker core is going to be better, no question about it, with that addition, but they lost a lot of depth. So you mentioned their health. They're going to be very reliant to try and remain healthy. The NFL is a season and a battle of attrition. I think that you look at the depth chart right now, it's as questionable as it's maybe been over the last decade. They've got a lot of question marks and a lot of guys are going to need to step up. But hey, you hit on a rookie class. We saw it in 2016. You're thinking, oh my gosh, Tony Romo goes down. Here's Ezekiel Elliott, best runner in football. Here's Dak Prescott. You hit on a left tackle and a center. All of a sudden, now your offensive line's much better. Now it doesn't really matter as much who your running back is because you're opening up room, opening up holes. You can average 4 yards a carry. Yeah, that's a remedy for success in the National Football League. That can give you some optimism.
I think they're resetting this whole thing.
Well, that would make me excited as well. Yeah, I think I might rather have that development than the Cowboys start 6-2 and get us optimistic. Yeah, I would rather have them start 2-6 and be heading for a clear cut and maybe evolving. But I do want to say, while we're evaluating Mike McCarthy, I don't think he's the worst out of the, if you're looking at front office, coaching staff, and personnel, right now Mike looks the best out of all those. He's a guy that's been to the top of the mountain, three straight 12-win seasons after two decades of inconsistency. It's your front office, more than Mike or more than this roster, that's preventing the great success that this franchise deserves.
I don't think Mike McCarthy is worried about what's going on with his job right now, because I think, like, you know, you look at what
he's doing a good job.
There's been some teams like, you know, Carolina hires Dave Canales. Look at all these coaches that have been hired. Raheem Morris. I'm sorry, no disrespect, but Mike McCarthy's resume and record is much better than any. If you start to talk about coaches, and we always use the word retread coaches and stuff like that, you know, Mike McCarthy, you could do far worse, and a lot of teams have.
The problem is that being a top 15 coach isn't giving you much of an edge. You got to get into the top five, where you can scheme up the running game to go with the passing game. Yeah. And if I'm Mike McCarthy this entire offseason, that is what I have been focused on. Now, the problem was last year when they tried to run with motion, I think they were the only team in the league that got less yards per attempt. So their players didn't know how to execute it, which, you know, puts a massive emphasis on it. And I think even if they decided, hey, this is the direction we're going, I don't think that's fixable in one off season. Mavs are bringing back Spencer Dinwiddie on a 1-year deal. What kind of a role would you have for him? What is he a bench player until there's an injury? Is he part of the regular rotation? What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's more of a six man. I mean, that's a guy that right now can give you some quality minutes as a guard when you sit Kyrie and Luka. Right, you sit one of them, now you can slide Spencer Dinwiddie in, who we saw defended pretty darn well during their Western Conference Finals run. He's a guy that can create his own shot. He can create for others. I think he's a perfect third guard behind both Luka and Kyrie. So now, I mean, you look at how this team has turned over. The starting rotation projected to be Luka, Kyrie, Clay, PJ, Lively, your bench, Dinwiddie, Grimes, Najee Marshall, Maxi Kleber, Daniel Gafford. That is a team that can stack up and play with anybody. You are now really good with your starting five, and you are a deep team.
And Hardy, you know?
And Hardy, sure.
What do you need? Do you need an elite ball handler in Hardy who can get creative? Do you need Dinwiddie? Do you need defense? You know, there's a lot of tools over there on that bench to solve a lot of different problems that opposing teams are asking. Rangers got the three-run bombski from Jonah Heim, salvaged the final of a three-game set with Baltimore. I guess we only beat them in the playoffs, which is fine with me.
Sure.
They're back in action tonight against the White Sox at the Globe, and Lorenzen will be on the hill out there tonight, 6:30 pregame. Beltre had a great speech. The top moment was with Elvis. He said, he thinks I'm forgetting him, but I'm not. Playing next to you was really fun, even if you tried to catch every pop-up just to improve your fielding percentage. Unbelievable. Panned Beltre. What a great. It was cool to see his smile on center stage. Retiring Joe Pavelski said goodbye to the Dallas Stars. I've been one of the lucky ones, as he's now officially Dunski and sailing off into retirement. A fantastic career, and what a ripe age to retire at.
Yeah, I give him a lot of credit, too, because the regular season was a nice one for him. And then you get into the playoffs, and the further that series went, the more difficult it was for him to make plays. And you could tell that, sometimes these players don't realize when they need to step away.
Yeah.
And he was the one guy that always had the right perspective, how he's helped the young guys. You know, all the stories about, the young kids that he's – had his home and things like that, but he's always done it the right way. And he knew he saw how the series went for him. He gave it one more run. It didn't turn out, but when you start to talk about the great American born hockey players, his name will always be in the forefront.
100%. Congrats to him on a great career. And before you know it, we'll be back talking Stars with you. FC Dallas striker, is it Petar Musa, added to the MLS All-Star roster? So congrats to him. He came over here in February from Benfica in Portugal, and he's crafty. He's fun to watch. Salute to Xander Schauffele winning the British Open for his second major championship. All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Have the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. Five storylines and the Cowboys next in the nation.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome back, Nation. Hope you're having a great day. Had a good weekend. I've been catching up on Dexter 16 years after the fact. And I think I identified the moment last night, late in season 4, that people bailed on that show. I'm not gonna spoil it for anybody that's okay. Waiting even longer than I am, but I was like, oh, that's what we're doing?
Yeah.
You know, when these shows that are so fond of killing, when they kill off a main character, it can totally ruin the show. Like, I walked away, I think, the very episode that Glenn got it in The Walking Dead, like 6 or 7. I'm like, okay, we're done here.
Yes, I thought that's exactly what I thought of as you were talking about this. Like, The Walking Dead is the one show. I'm somebody that even if I'm really not liking it, I started it. I've got to finish the journey, see how this ends. But The Walking Dead lost me. And I probably hung around like an extra season or two even after that. And I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I wasting my time with this? But Dexter's one I haven't watched. I've heard great things. Eric's one that's tried to campaign to get me to watch it. But he even said the same thing. Like, there is a period where it starts to just kind of lose itself.
Dawson, just be honest. You got tired of watching the show and you quit.
Well, I think I did quit last night. Yes, I got tired of watching the show.
It's over.
I enjoyed it, but
you were so enthusiastic.
Had a good run.
They were giving me love story like 3 episodes leading into this, and then it happened, and I'm like, no, I don't. See, I don't think I can do anymore.
And
it stinks because me and my wife, you know, we actually have a show for the first time. I think Game of Thrones, and she's gonna look at me tonight and like, you ready for some Dexter? I'm gonna be like, sure. I'm gonna be fiddling with my phone.
Okay, I thought this was the, you know what, I've kind of identified the point I'm checking out. In reality, you're like, I'm just getting tired of watching this, and I'm going to do something.
That might be it. It might have run its course.
I think it's probably run its course.
I was just looking for a catalyst.
And you're kind of letting us know, you know, and you don't have to. You don't have to let us know that you're hating the show now. But, you know,
you say I'm ruining a segment here.
No,
talking about this.
No.
I think that you're being honest and vulnerable with your feelings, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I think he's tired of the show.
He clearly stated that.
Yeah. Dawson could go full tilt on something and just completely hit the wall at 200 miles an hour and stop.
Hey, he did give me the Shogun recommendation, though, and that thing was badass.
And if my experience at the Team Texas driving school is any indication, it'd be at about 138, Brian.
138?
I wouldn't get up to 200.
Yeah.
I almost got lapped in that whole thing. I kept thinking about the wall. I learned a great amount of respect for race car drivers that day. The cojones it takes to fly down that straightaway at 190 and yank it left and believe in the physics.
I'm surprised because I give you credit for that time when we were in Arizona and it was raining where you couldn't see and you took a van with no windshield wiper.
Yeah.
And drove and confidently drove. Not like, oh man, I gotta stop here. We're in trouble. You know, you kept going. You went to the point where we ran over the median.
Yeah.
And you felt like you hit somebody.
We all did.
And you went, oh my God, what just happened?
Big thud.
What just happened?
Got to get out and look around here.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's an uneasy feeling when you hit something and you're not sure what it was. I was like, okay, it felt like a solid structure.
It was a doo-doom.
Not much give to that.
No.
Okay. Well, yeah, I wanted to let you guys know. I know people on the text have been tracking that along with me.
What?
I think it's about an 8-season show.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we can call it a day there.
Oh, here we go.
I might fast forward to the end just to see if they tie it
see the finale.
Decently. Yeah. Okay. Zeke's return is the number one storyline here from the morning news. I'm interested in this. Now he's the veteran. There's less pressure on him. It's a different environment, and I think we're going to see the best of Zeke's personality. You know, he'd been slowly unraveling that thing for the media to see the super fun side of Zeke that he almost always just shows to the players. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get super fun Zeke for everybody now.
Can people text in yes or no if we'd like to have Zeke as a weekly guest?
Okay.
Can we do that?
Sure.
Just yes or no. Yes, you like to hear from Zeke every Thursday, or no, you wouldn't want to hear from him.
Here's our rules for our weekly guest. It was, you know, Tank and Amari Cooper and Zach Martin. They just can't be under a rookie contract. Yeah. Some weird rule with the NFL.
Yeah, Joe Looney was really good.
Great,
it might end up being Zach Martin again, but just spitballing here.
We've got to figure this thing out, and we're going to have a chance at camp to like interview these guys, like interview them in a way of like, hey, listen, this is not good enough for our show.
And we had a lot of fun with Zeke the last time we got to visit with him at camp.
We've had a lot of fun with a lot of the players, and I think Zeke might be my pick if I had to pick from all those veterans. Obviously, Dak, if that's doable.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, the quarterback, you know, doesn't get much.
Unless you're Tom Brady, right?
One yes and five no's.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
No, two yeses now.
Okay. Two yeses.
Now we're rallying with the yeses from Tolo Tiffany and the 817. It's just different when you get an official player show.
Right.
As far as the energy of it, it's a one-on-one. Right. It's a weekly. You build a little bit of a relationship. I understand like those huddle interview scenarios with Zeke that historically hasn't gotten the most out of him. But I think if you go back and listen to the training camp interview we did with him last year, you might be a little bit more encouraged.
I was just interested to see if folks will be interested in Zeke on a weekly basis.
817 says, introduce Mardi Gras brought us to Zeke and y'all will hit it off fine.
Yeah, there we go.
Dak or Zeke says the 214, if not Diggs. Yeah, Diggs is a strong candidate as well. We'll give you updates on that as we get closer to a partnership and agreement. Team chemistry is interesting. You know, Hooker, Parsons, Tank. Remember the Tank interview from the Super Bowl with Stephen A. Smith?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, where he's talking about we were tired. You know, so I think it's definitely been an offseason that would say could set up for a toxic type of environment. And we'll see how much follow through we have on that, or if they're going to come together under Mike Zimmer and play the best defense we've seen. That might be my most exciting thing. Like, you're taking a lot of talented personnel who were playing aggressive, trying to fire gaps. You couldn't get them to play discipline. Now you have a coach that's going to be like, hey, we might not get all the sacks. We might not go for every football, but we're going to play more discipline. And with all that talent, I think it has the potential, especially because it's in line with how the better defenses are playing now. Aggression is out. As defenses have figured a way to sort of get the ball out to mitigate your pass rush. And now it's more about making you pay for your mistakes. And as you saw with the Cowboys last year and their losses, it can be very, very powerful. The second year jump and the bounce back, we're talking about Mozzie Smith and Luke Schoonmaker. Which of those two second year players do you think is going to do it here?
That's so critical. They really need to
both
find
of them.
They need both. They do. I mean, I think the tight end spot is actually pretty strong with John Stevens coming back. But man, I mean, they had Schoonie was brought in here to be an A+ blocker.
He didn't look like the same player that was playing in Michigan. I'm sorry. I take a lot of pride in not always right about my draft stuff, but I take a lot of pride in looking at, if I don't know a player, I'm going to keep watching until I learn. And I saw Michigan running the football with some physicality, and I didn't see a physical play.
And I just didn't see like improvement. Yeah. You know, even Hunter Lipke, we talked about blocking not as strong, so you started to see improvement.
He went
throughout
from
the
half
season.
Man to being square. And when I mean half man, hitting half of the defender, and then he became more of a square blocker. But man, I'll tell you what, They need Mozzie Smith to be big time.
They have to have Mozzie.
They really need him to be big time.
Both those guys playing good would I just do wonders for my optimism. The rookies is the fourth thing, and then contract talks, yada, yada, yada,
yada, yada,
is the fifth, with Dak and CeeDee obviously taking center stage. There, it's time now to go into the Pimp Cup. And here's Lucius with your G-Back of the Day.
Yeah. Sure, I got my situations right. How's everybody doing here on a Monday?
All right.
Okay, well, we last left off. We had a lady that caught a couple in the pool, trying to smash in the community pool in broad daylight. Rock-a-bye, baby. This is a day two for because we did not get to do Friday's G-Bag of the Day.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it was. It was.
You didn't get to do G-Bag of the Day on Friday?
Nah, it was. It was chouse. It was chouse. It was chaos for sure.
No.
So let's get into this lady real quick.
It was chouse.
Hey, I definitely just called security on the both of y'all nasty asses while you out here done took your dirty ass panties off in that nasty ass water. That's so water. Disgusting. Kids, get in that damn pool. You need to put your nasty ass panties back on, jump your ass back over that fucking balcony and get the fuck out that pool, because that's so disgusting. All the places you can have sex, you gonna choose to have sex out here in the damn pool?
Yeah.
That's so nasty and dirty as in a chlorine pool. It's okay, I took your video and security is on the way.
She had to take the video, though?
She had to take the video and tell security and then post the video online so knuckleheads like us on the radio in Dallas can play it. Yeah, it's crazy, bro.
Man, I mean, in their defense, I don't think the swimsuits take away any of the nastiness that's on the human body.
No.
When you go into the pool.
Not at all. Like I'm saying, I'm not even mad at them. They would have did that past midnight. I couldn't get mad.
Yeah, it's just the daylight
thing. It's just the daylight situation. You know, I'm tripping,
kiddo
bro.
Can come over there and, yeah, it's risky.
Lane Kiffin, I wanted to play this on Friday, but he kept the receipts on Paul Feinbaum.
He did.
Here we go.
Kept the receipts. Talked to him straight to his face.
I was going through a deep depression over this incorrect guilt that you tried to lay on me, which preceded that move. Had something to do with Southern California.
Oh, yeah. When you got me fired at USC, I got myself fired at USC, but you didn't
help.
It's
a better story if I got you fired.
You really did. Because it is a true story that the athletic director and the president were on that trip. We were playing that night, and you were on college game day, and you had to make your big splash, and they were watching it, because I know the other person in the room that was watching it with them. And you said, what a joke I was, and I'm the Miley Cyrus of college football coaching, and I should be fired. And they looked at each other, and later that night I was fired.
Yeah. By the way.
So, hey, look what happened. I would have never gotten to work for Coach Saban. All these other things wouldn't happen, so I appreciate you for helping getting me fired. Thank you.
I mean, look at what you're doing today. You're predicted to go to the playoffs. And look at Miley Cyrus. She's had a nice comeback,
too. So you're wrong on that.
Oh.
I mean, you put me down with that. So really, I don't really know what you're good at. Like,
Coach
Saban was done. That didn't happen. You basically said Miley Cyrus stinks, and she's still going.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's always great to be ridiculed by Lane Kiffin here at SEC Meet.
Well, anyway.
Wow. Yeah.
Awkward.
I don't even know what you're good at. What are you?
What are you good at?
What are you doing here?
Coach is fired, I guess. He's on the Lane Kiffin train now. And now he's trying to get Lincoln Riley fired at USC.
Yeah.
Who invited you? How did you get in here?
How did you get in here?
They checked your credentials, bro?
I'll tell you what, though. I admire Lane Kiffin for sitting down with him, though. If there's a legitimate hate between those two, Lane Kiffin could have avoided Paul Feinbaum easily. Yeah. He could have just said, nah, we ain't doing this today. But he went and
he sat on down.
He sat on down and said, hey, I'm going to say this to your face. I don't appreciate what you did to me at USC, and I haven't forgotten it.
He said, today I got time, cuz.
Yeah.
You can drop off your kid and run my fade.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, the Gators were biting my man Ross on Friday.
Hold on, do you think maybe Dad on his way out said, don't have any regrets, son. Give him hell. Don't pull any punches.
He said,
I mean, Lane just lost Dad. He's out here throwing heat, isn't he?
Yeah. His dad probably told him, hey, if you have to do anything, get back at Feinbaum.
As he was holding his pop's hand on the pants.
Feinbaum, that dad.
That
what
troll.
Do you mean? Feinbaum. You know that guy in Birmingham.
My last wish.
And, get Feinbaum.
Famous last words.
Feinbaum.
Got it, Dad.
Yellow, bro.
Oh, come on, cuz.
Oh, Brian.
It's super dark. Brian is working in the blue right now.
I'm just telling you, man.
That's good radio.
Monty fell asleep on my shoulder on a bus ride one time coming back from KC.
I remember that.
He played.
Fell asleep at a game.
I was typing a report about how great his defense played, and Monty's head was on my shoulder as I'm. Monty was dialing it up today. He was drooling on my shirt.
I always think about when you say that. I think about the dude at the Alamo. Alamo
Draft House?
Draft House. I was watching the movie. My man was neck back, mouth open, snoring next to me, just. Oh. I was like, dude, I ain't even gonna wake you up, man. You're a tired man right now. I'm gonna let you get this one off.
Yeah. You're gonna wake up well rested with a kink in his neck.
Oh,
I can't move.
So I'm trying to just watch Civil War, bro. The Gators got onto Ross because I was out there at the Texas. I'll probably never be able to leave the studio ever again.
God, it's nice having you out, Lucius.
Yeah, he tried to play audio. It didn't play. My intro was off. Just everything was terrible. Shout out to you, Ross. But this is how the segment ended.
Hopefully there's still a pulse on Ross if he gets the opportunity to throw it to break here.
Yeah,
he's having everything's spinning. I would imagine. That's why we love live radio. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just gotta power through, and we will get back to the G-bag of the day potentially
maybe
no guarantees
allegedly.
On a mail it in Friday. That was a historical G-Bag of the Day here. Appreciate you rocking with us live at Globe Life Field. It is the G-Bag Nation. Brian Broaddus is going to give us a Krusty's Corner for the Ages coming up next.
Guys,
coming up Monday morning on Sean and RJ. How did the Rangers start off the second half of their season against Baltimore? And a Josh Abbott band ticket giveaway during the Expressway. It's a Monday morning with Sean and RJ. Oh,
somebody got to read?
We good, Ross? I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh.
No way.
No.
Ross has been here like 6 months, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-oh. Reg, what's up?
Reggie.
All right, fellas. So cutting off the tees, that was Ross. Coming back from break, that was actually me. I thought that y'all had a read. I came in to help him out. And so the last part was me. I will take that. Ross already had. He had a tough go of this.
Yeah,
so I
hell
have
to, of a goal.
That's a teammate.
He didn't sell you out, man. He didn't sell you out.
No.
Reggie came in and helped out.
Yeah. So I didn't realize that he had cut off the tees. I thought that he had somehow cut off what was like supposed to be a live read. So the last part, that was Reggie. That was me. I'll put my hand up.
It's a teammate right there, Reg.
And Reggie's wearing, I think, the best Texas Rangers hat I've seen in a long time. What is this? What edition is this?
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
One of our great listeners, Rachel Ring, made sure to grab me one.
Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
Really sporting it because it looks great.
That's beautiful.
That's very cool.
All right, fellas.
Well, thank you for that update, Reg.
Yeah. Shout out to Reg. Came to shoot my man some bail, didn't he? Shot Ross some bail. Yep. But now I'm going to play the whole segment of G-Back of the Day for LA Live in there because you have to hear it just construct. And crescendo with that ending right there.
I can't wait.
Last one before I get out of here, man.
Yeah.
Yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessing. Shout out to my pastor, Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes, and Reverend Ike. Yes, I watched some Reverend Ike clips on Sunday, you know, to get my mind right. And I seen some Tolo's names in the likes.
Okay.
Of Reverend Ike. Yeah, I'll see y'all out here.
All right. Spreading the good word.
Yeah, get your visualization and your meditations and your manifestings. For that money. Real quick right here. This is for Woolchuck. I'm pretty sure you'll like this one, though.
Thank you.
Maybe you need to forget all these lies. We need to start focusing on the truth, the truths and principles found in the Bible.
Yeah.
Happens to the best of us, man.
We need to fart. That is a fact, though.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Is a fact.
Maybe you need to forget all these lies. We need to start.
Yeah.
Need to fart start.
Genius, indeed. Is it the couple in the pool? Is it Lane Kiffin? Mm. Is it Chiafalo vamping through a Gator Fest in the Pimp Cup? Or is it the farting preacher?
They destroyed Ross, too. I mean, they had each and every body part. They didn't even have to, like, fight over body parts. It was just enough for all of the Gators. Oh, you got to hear him talk, too. He had no idea what was going on.
You guys, what?
You have to cut that gator open and put Ross back together.
Yeah. Death spin got him.
I'll vote for the farting preacher, Lucius. Oh. How about you?
Oh, wow. Where was I? I'm going with the Gator situation, I guess. I don't know here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the chaos that was our guy Ross, and I love you, Ross.
Lane Kiffin gets a vote today.
By a score of 2-1, and your new G-Bag of the Day champion. It is the G-Bag of the Day from Friday. Okay, coming up next, it's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Brian, what you got?
Yeah, I got a scouting report on a couple of defensive tackles I think you need to know about. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Welcome back, Nation. NFL News of the Day is coming up at 3 o'clock. It's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Broadus.
Thank you very much, General, and thank you very much to Reliant as well. Really excited about getting out to training camp practices and stuff like that. I sat down today and got back into watching. I hadn't watched any film since the draft coverage.
Been a few months.
Been a few months of kind of taking a break from that. But I wanted to take the opportunity to look at a couple of defensive tackles. And I'm doing this because of what Todd Archer, when he was on with us the other day, and Todd kind of made mention. Now, Todd Archer, I think, is one of the best insiders this team has covering. And when he starts to mention about, you know, I don't think they're done at defensive tackle. I think they're looking at some guys. I'm just like, okay, let's see if we can find a couple of guys that kind of make some sense. So I'm looking at a couple of some one techniques. Now, let me ask you guys this. Trying to do this like on a 1 year deal. Are you guys, if I have a couple of guys here that are at like age 35, 34, 35, how would you feel about that? Or are you just interested in the player? Like, you know, the age is not a 35 year old one technique.
Not right? Worried about that. I believe in old man strength, Brian, especially at that position.
Yeah. I think that they're so, right now that's such a thin position. Just give me the player. But that is another position where you forecast after this year, you also have Osa Odighizuwa, who will be a free agent.
Yeah.
And that is a position that is getting paid.
Yeah, I mean, and we talked about the whole thing with Mozzie Smith and him hopefully giving you something this year. But I took a look at Linville Joseph today, and I was interested in him. And I also took a look at Nick Williams, who was with the L.A. Chargers.
Okay.
And both these guys, Nick Williams is 34 and Linville Joseph is 35. And I'll say this about what's interesting about Linville Joseph is that similar size to what you had with Hankins. But again, Hankins is 32 years old and Linville Joseph is 35 years old. He's going to be 36 years old when this season gets going. He'll be in the season. He'll be 36 years old. So I was just kind of like, you're like, okay, same type guy is what you're looking at. Just a little bit of an older guy
here. Yeah.
And me personally, I mean, they had their reasons for why they did what the Hankins, you know, if you look at Pro Football Focus, and I was just curious what the grade was. They had him as a 50 as a run defender, which is, you know, it's a decent grade, not sure. Terrible, but but you look at Linville Joseph, they've got him as a 33 run defender. With his Linville Joseph, actually, they have him as a better pass rusher than they do a run defender. Mm. But what's interesting about Joseph as well, you're going to get about 18 snaps a game with this guy. You're going to get one tackle, a couple assists. He's 6'4", he's 329 pounds. His best grade, his best game that he played this year, according to Pro Football Focus, I watched, was against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs. And he dominated that game. I mean, he was, when you start to talk about, they really had no answer for him when it came to handling his power, his ability to, like, you know, to play square, to not get moved. He was throwing their centers, their guards around. It was impressive. I watched the Dallas game. That was probably his next best game for his grade. Did a really good job. Biotis early in the game had some success against him. And then later in the game, Biotis had no answer for him, and it was a decent battle between him and Tyler Smith. I mean, there was two men going at it pretty good there. Kansas City was another game that I watched, and Kansas City had their way with him in this one. So I tried to watch teams.
They've got two really good guards.
Yeah, and a center.
Yeah, absolutely. Creed Humphrey.
Yeah, Creed Humphrey. So, but what you got to remember about Linville Joseph is some of his best seasons he's ever had was for Mike Zimmer when the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
And so that might be something that if they're looking for a one technique, but again, here's a massive inside guy. Like I said, 329 pounds. He was outstanding against Pittsburgh. I mentioned that. He threw their centers, their guards around. He was active. He was physical. He had a little bit more trouble against Kansas City. He wasn't as dominant, but he was really, it was good battles, I mentioned, with him and Tyler Smith. He's got the hand placement is outstanding with him. He can control blockers. The movement, the effort, all that stuff is still there. You're looking for a guy that's not going to get turned or pushed out of the hole or scooped or reached. No, he's not. That's not his deal. He's going to stand there. He's going to hold the point of attack, and he's going to be able to allow the backers behind him to run. But he's just not going to kill grass. You know, when you look at currently what they've got at defensive tackle, you got some grass killers. This guy's going to move his feet. He's going to get down the line. He's going to extend.
When's he get into trouble having to cover space?
Yeah, well, what happened was there was one time where Dallas had a play where Pollard got past him. Like he was just a half step slow of getting, like the ball came outside of his shoulder and he couldn't get over quick enough. Pollard was able to beat him to the hole and get past him, so he couldn't make the play. So what could have been a play for no gain turned into like a 6-yard gain. So that's kind of what you're dealing with right now. When the ball is at him, he's going to be a problem to move and stuff. But when it gets a little bit wider of him, well, that's maybe where you're going to be, maybe a step.
I mean, it sounds like a good low salary option, you know, as long as you're not breaking the bank.
Yeah, that was. Now, I will say this. I do like him, but I like this Nick Williams a little bit more with who was with the Chargers. And he's a 310-pound guy. He's 6'4", 310. He's a 34-year-old guy, I mentioned. Overall grade of a 60 from Pro Football Focus. The run defense is better. The pass rush is really good. You know, you're going to get probably 19 plays from him. Oh, excuse me, you're going to get, he had 18 solo tackles. Excuse me, 24 snaps per game. His only sack of the year was against Dallas.
Wow.
Was the only sack he had all year. But he's a pretty good run defender and a pretty good pass rusher because he's not a 329-pound guy. He's 310 pounds, and he plays like, is that what we call like a heavy nose? He'll play head up, or he'll play to the inside like the one technique stuff. So you'll see him play head up, and then you'll see him play inside shoulder of the guard. And he's actually does a pretty good job. Again, not as big as weight as what Joseph is. But he played some of his best games against really good competition. And so I mentioned the Dallas game. I mean, Dallas, they had a hard time handling this guy. But the movement is good. He's active. He doesn't get stuck on blocks. He's got initial quickness off the ball. So he gives you something coming across where Linville Joseph's a little bit more of a stand-up,
sure,
kind of a two-gap find and then go.
Interesting.
Nick Williams is more of an up-the-field type of a player here, but he's strong enough to play that nose guard if you need him. I think that you got to stay square. He does a good job of that. He fights all to get off blocks, and he can get movement. And I think that when you start to talk about guys that take on blocks but can also give you a little bit of pass rush, can control blockers in front, I think those are the types of guys you need to look at. And again, he's 6'4", 310 pounds, but he plays a lot bigger than that. And so that might be a cheaper option for you when you're starting to talk about these veteran. If Archer's saying, hey, they're looking at veteran one technique type guys, Joseph, Nick Williams would be two guys I think that might, those names might come up when we're out there in Oxnard.
Sounds great, Brian. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 2:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. NFL News of the Day is coming up. Well, Chuck, what do you have in store for us?
New deals, surprise retirements, and the triplet rankings. That's next to the Nation.
Yes, sir. Welcome back, Nation. NFL News of the Day is coming up at 3 o'clock. It's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Broadus.
Thank you very much, General. Thank you very much to Reliant as well. Really excited about getting out to training camp practices and stuff like that. I sat down today and got back into watching. I hadn't watched any film since the draft, yeah, draft coverage.
Been a few months.
Been a few months of kind of taking a break from that. But I wanted to take the opportunity to look at a couple of defensive tackles. And I'm doing this because of what Todd Archer, when he was on with us the other day, and Todd kind of made mention. Now, Todd Archer, I think, is one of the best insiders this team has covering. And when he starts to mention about, you know, I don't think they're done at defensive tackle. I think they're looking at some guys. I'm just like, okay, let's see if we can find a couple of guys that kind of make some sense. So I'm looking at a couple of some one techniques. Now, let me ask you guys this. I'm trying to do this like on a 1 year deal. Are you guys, if I have a couple of guys here that are at like age 35, 34, 35, how would you feel about that? Or are you just interested in the player? Like, you know, the age is not a 35-year-old one technique.
Not right? Worried about that. I believe in old man strength, Brian, especially at that position.
Yeah, I think that they're so, right now, that's such a thin position. Just give me the player. But that is another position where you forecast after this year, you also have Osa Odighizuwa, who will be a free agent.
Yeah.
And that is a position that is getting paid.
Yeah, I mean, and we talked about the whole thing with Mozzie Smith and him hopefully giving you something this year. But I took a look at Linville Joseph today, and I was interested in him. And I also took a look at Nick Williams, who was with the L.A. Chargers.
Okay.
And both these guys, Nick Williams is 34 and Linville Joseph is 35. And I'll say this about what's interesting about Linville Joseph is that similar size to what you had with Hankins. But again, Hankins is 32 years old and Linville Joseph is 35 years old. He's going to be 36 years old when the season gets going. He'll be in the season. He'll be 36 years old. So I was just kind of like, you're like, okay, same type guy is what you're looking at. Just a little bit of an older guy
here. Yeah.
And me personally, I mean, they had their reasons for why they did what the Hankins, you know, if you look at Pro Football Focus, and I was just curious what the grade was. They had him as a 50 as a run defender, which is, you know, it's a decent grade, not sure. Terrible, but but you look at Linville Joseph, they've got him as a 33 run defender. With his Linville Joseph, actually, they have him as a better pass rusher than they do a run defender. Mm. But what's interesting about Joseph as well, you're going to get about 18 snaps a game with this guy. You're going to get one tackle, a couple assists. He's 6'4", he's 329 pounds. His best grade, his best game that he played this year, according to Pro Football Focus, I watched, was against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs. And he dominated that game. I mean, he was, when you start to talk about, they really had no answer for him when it came to handling his power, his ability to, like, you know, to play square, to not get moved. He was throwing their centers, their guards around. It was impressive. I watched the Dallas game. That was probably his next best game for his grade. Did a really good job. Biotis early in the game had some success against him. And then later in the game, Biotis had no answer for him, and it was a decent battle between him and Tyler Smith. I mean, there was two men going at it pretty good there. Kansas City was another game that I watched, and Kansas City had their way with him in this one. So I tried to watch teams.
They've got two really good guards.
Yeah, and a center.
Yeah, absolutely. Creed Humphrey.
Yeah, Creed Humphrey. So, but what you got to remember about Linville Joseph is some of his best seasons he's ever had was for Mike Zimmer when at the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
And so that might be something that if they're looking for a one technique, but again, here's a massive inside guy. Like I said, 329 pounds. He was outstanding against Pittsburgh. I mentioned that. He threw their centers, their guards around. He was active. He was physical. He had a little bit more trouble against Kansas City. He wasn't as dominant, but he was really, it was good battles. I mentioned with him and Tyler Smith. He's got the hand placement is outstanding with him. He can control blockers. The movement, the effort, all that stuff is still there. You're looking for a guy that's not going to get turned or pushed out of the hole or scooped or reached. No, he's not. That's not his deal. He's going to stand there. He's going to hold the point of attack, and he's going to be able to allow the backers behind him to run. But he's just not going to kill grass. You know, when you look at currently what they've got at defensive tackle, you got some grass killers. This guy's going to move his feet. He's going to get down the line. He's going to extend.
When's he get into trouble having to cover space?
Yeah, well, what happened was there was one time where Dallas had a play where Pollard got past him. Like he was just a half step slow of getting, like the ball came outside of his shoulder and he couldn't get over quick enough. Pollard was able to beat him to the hole and get past him, so he couldn't make the play. So what could have been a play for no gain turned into like a 6-yard gain. So that's kind of what you're dealing with right now. When the ball is at him, he's going to be a problem to move and stuff. But when it gets a little bit wider of him, well, that's maybe where you're going to be maybe a step
slower. I mean, it sounds like a good low salary option, as long as you're not breaking the bank.
Yeah, that was. Now, I will say this. I do like him, but I like this Nick Williams a little bit more with who was with the Chargers. And he's a 310-pound guy. He's 6'4", 310. He's a 34-year-old guy mentioned. Overall grade of a 60 from Pro Football Focus. The run defense is better. The pass rush is really good. You know, you're going to get probably 19 plays from him. Oh, excuse me, you're going to get, he had 18 solo tackles. Excuse me, 24 snaps per game. His only sack of the year was against Dallas.
Wow.
Was the only sack he had all year. But he's a pretty good run defender and a pretty good pass rusher because he's not a 329-pound guy. He's 310 pounds and he plays like, is that what we call like a heavy nose? He'll play head up or he'll play to the inside like the one technique stuff. So you'll see him play head up and then you'll see him play inside shoulder of the guard. And he's actually does a pretty good job. Again, not as big as weight as what Joseph is, but he played some of his best games against really good competition. And so I mentioned the Dallas game. I mean, Dallas, they had a hard time handling this guy. But the movement is good. He's active. He doesn't get stuck on blocks. He's got initial quickness off the ball. So he gives you something coming across where Linville Joseph's a little bit more of a stand-up,
sure,
kind of a two-gap find and then go.
Interesting.
Nick Williams is more of an up-the-field type of a player here, but he's strong enough to play that nose guard if you need him. I think that you got to stay square. He does a good job of that. He fights all to get off blocks, and he can get movement. And I think that when you start to talk about guys that take on blocks – but can also give you a little bit of pass rush, can control blockers in front. I think those are the types of guys you need to look at. And again, he's 6'4", 310 pounds, but he plays a lot bigger than that. And so that might be a cheaper option for you when you're starting to talk about these veteran. If Archer's saying, hey, they're looking at veteran one technique type guys, Joseph, Nick Williams would be two guys I think that those names might come up when we're out there in Oxnard.
Sounds great, Brian. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 2:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. NFL News of the Day is coming up. Well, Chuck, what do you have in store for us?
New deals, surprise retirements, and the triplet rankings. That's next to the nation.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.